welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this rainy Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. If you're out and about today and or this morning, make sure you're careful out there. The roads are very wet, and we're going to continue to see rainfall from the remnants of Hurricane Ida all day long here today in the Middle Tennessee area. So make sure that you are aware of that and that you're careful out there. Joe Rexford, I can tell you, it was a little soggy on the way into work this morning.
Yeah, I was just going to ask how rough was that drive?
I would say from my area in Greenbrier on down to the airport, it wasn't bad yet, but you could tell there was some ponding starting to take place on Briley Parkway. So make sure you're aware of that out there.
Yeah, and I'd like to apologize to anybody watching the stream. Because I usually have this lamp that I put on myself, and instead, so I have the overhead light. And does it look kind of like I have a halo?
The interrogation lamp, or you're just an angel, one of the two.
Yes, it's very angelic here. So, but you know, actually, if I go like this, you can barely see my face, which is not bad.
We all want to see Rex Road's face here early on this Tuesday morning. That's what we do here.
Look at that Packers jacket. Did you just get that?
Yeah, man. I picked up a starter jacket, Packers jacket in Florida from the 90s. Oh, it's got like a throwback logo on it. I'm a big fan of like all things 90s anyway, but when I saw the starter jacket, I felt like it would be malpractice for me to walk in there and not get it.
That's beautiful. That's probably like something Don Magic Man Mikowski wore.
Yes, probably so.
Like in real life.
It probably is. I looked around. They had a few starter jackets in there. No Titan starter jackets in there, though. I was looking for like an old school either Houston Oilers or Tennessee Oilers starter jacket. I was going to pick one up, but didn't have that one. They had like a Packers one, a Cowboys one, and a Niners one. That was it.
Yeah, boy, there were a lot of Cowboys and Niners one back then too. were everywhere.
Yeah, long live the 90s. Things are coming back around. Even the mullets coming back around that we saw in the early 90s. So, good stuff. Everything comes back in style at some point. Joe Rexroth, how was Titans practice yesterday, and what do you think they're looking to accomplish here this week as they continue to move through here with so far no Mike Vrabel back on the field? And an extra week in between the final preseason game and the first regular season game coming up on September 12th against Arizona.
Well, yesterday, was one of those days where, your value as a person goes down. So that's what happened to me, because no longer can I come back to the show and tell people what I saw in practice yesterday, other than here's who was there and here's how the stretching and a couple of drills look, because it is now regular season mode. So no more. We won't see any more of the team periods. No more watching these guys play football, other than when they play football on Sundays. So I will say, though, and I put a beautiful video on Twitter.
Yes, you did.
Julio Jones was full go in the, and again, even though we didn't see team stuff, he was more involved than like he had been. And AJ Brown was with him. Every drill AJ Brown led, then Julio Jones went next, and then all the other guys followed. So, they did all the stuff, looked good. So that's probably the most positive thing. Like you said, a lot of people out. And the list keeps growing of people on the reserve COVID list keeps growing. You also on the receiver room. So you had Josh Reynolds, not surprised he wasn't there. Marcus Johnson, not terribly surprised there either. And, obviously for his sake, he needs to come back quickly. I think he's going to make the team, but Cam Batson also not there. So, and then a host of other guys as well. But look, they've got this time, and Tannehill should be back this week. And if Julio is all good now, then that aspect of getting ready for the season should have plenty of runway.
Yep, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday here on the show. There was really no reason, based on the warm-ups that we saw Saturday night against Chicago and just the way that they've kind of been handling A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, it feels like they're going to be ready to go. By the time that Arizona comes around, A.J. Brown's been fine. Julio Jones has been working his way back, but there's been zero reason to rush him to this point, man. Yesterday, he's out on the field, at least in the parts that we were allowed to see, and a full go, as you said. But Nate Davis put on the reserve COVID-19 list, and I believe there are 11 others at this point that remain on that list. So not good news again yesterday from the Titans on that front. And you talked about it yesterday, Joe. I mean, right now, worst-case scenario, if you're vaccinated here, you're 10 days out. This continues to move along this week, and day by day, we continue to go forward here. And maybe more guys get added to the list, it starts to become a pretty big concern at that point about their availability for the first game against Arizona. Not good news yesterday to see Nate Davis put on the reserve COVID-19 list as well.
Well, exactly. And so, you know, Nate Davis also, of course, I mean, he really has been out for a while with an undisclosed injury, started to just come back last week. Same with Ben Jones. I mean, it's weird. Like, both of those guys have missed a lot of time. You know, they're gonna be fine. I mean, they're both good players, but now you go onto the list and look. I mean, you basically assume everyone's vaccinated, but I don't know every single individual in that situation. And if it is a positive and you've got COVID going along with a whole bunch of time of not practicing, and now you have this time, what kind of shape can you expect, especially, you know, some of the linemen to be in for the opener? Like in football, obviously, you know, if the offense is on a drive, you think about that defense getting exhausted and stuff, right? But, I mean, the offensive linemen are tired too. You know, they just feel a little less tired because they're actually firing off the ball and moving the ball. But you think about how hot it could be in that opener against Arizona, and, you know, just early in the season, who knows with Seattle, but there's a lot of things about this that are less than ideal for the Titans.
Yeah, no question about that. And here we are, you're a week away now from game week if you're the Titans, and now the health of the offensive line that we've talked so much about here on the show. You know, Ryan Tannehill's been out the last few days on the COVID list. Mike Vrabel's been out the last few days on the COVID list as well. Trying to get things back in order and ready to go for the first game of the season, and that proven to be a bit of a challenge right now for the Titans as well. 53-man roster is due today, and Joe, the 53-man roster going to be very interesting from the Titans' day to see what happens on that front, given the bodies they have right now on the COVID list.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it comes with a little star, with a little asterisk next to it, but still definitely some interesting cuts to be made. We've already seen one. John Simon, I don't think anyone in the Titans media corps had John Simon out in trying to predict this thing. So there's going to be, I have no doubt, a couple more surprises today.
And then we saw some breaking news in the NFL last night from a former Titan, Malcolm Butler, who, of course, is now with the Arizona Cardinals and was scheduled to take on the Titans in the first game of the season. Apparently going through a personal situation at the moment. And according to reports last night, Joe, whatever this situation is for Malcolm Butler, it has him mulling retirement at this point. So Malcolm Butler has not been there the last few days with the Arizona Cardinals and going through a personal situation. First off, just hope that everything is okay and that whatever he's going through gets resolved at that point from a personal standpoint. But it sure would be a shame from the football side of things not to see Malcolm Butler on the field in week one as well.
Yeah, that would be too bad. And yeah, I haven't seen anything, you know, specific on that. But was he definitely a starter?
I think so.
Slotting in to be, yeah. I think so, right? I mean, so a loss for them. And if that's the case, so hopefully everything's all right with him.
Yep, we'll see what happens on that front. Titans taking on the Arizona Cardinals coming up on September the 12th. I was looking forward to seeing A.J. Brown potentially head up against Malcolm Butler. I mean, we've seen that time and time again in Titans practice. Some intense battles on that front. Would have been nice to see that in the game front as well. So hopefully everything is okay with Malcolm Butler and he's able to come back and continue to play. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road. Got a lot coming your way today. We've got a lot of Vols talk to get into. Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel will join us to begin the 7 o'clock hour. Scheduled to be joined by Titans defensive back Elijah Molden at 7:30 as well. So a lot to come in the first part of the show today. But when we come back, Jared Stillman had quite the take yesterday on a prominent Titans draft pick this year that had Joe Rexroad spinning his head around in circles. We'll get to more of what that is coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join us in partnering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and their families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, we raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will take place on November the 5th at Nissan Stadium. You can register and learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. Once again, that's lightthenight.org/TN. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we've talked about the Titans, the situation that they have right now on the offensive line. Daniel Munyer going down on Saturday, Ben Jones on the COVID list, and now Nate Davis also on the COVID list. That was announced yesterday, so it continues to kind of run through the Titans right now, leaving a lot of question marks on the offensive line from a depth perspective at the moment. And one guy that's been relied on heavily and that could continue to be relied on heavily is second-round draft pick Dylan Raidens, who, of course, we've talked a lot about here on the show, Joe. Struggled very early in camp, has played both at right tackle, and they've moved him inside to guard as well. And he's a guy that you were hoping probably would be a little bit more ready at this point than he's displayed that he is. And Rabel even talked about it yesterday when it comes down to the right tackle position. Dylan Raidens, not really in the mix for that at the moment. Talked about Kendall Lamb, Tyson Brilo, and obviously David Questenberry yesterday as well in his press conference. But Jared Stillman had his own takes about Dylan Raidens yesterday on his show that left Joe Rexroad's head spinning a little bit after that. Here's what Jared Stillman had to say yesterday on Stillman and Company.
Who was the second round pick?
Dylan Raidens.
Guys, he may develop into a good offensive lineman one day, but today is not that day. He is not active on game day if I'm coaching right now. I mean, he's getting smoked out there. Can't play tackle, can't play guard. I mean, the truth is, right now, Dylan Raidens can't play. He needs a redshirt year. He needs to mysteriously go to IR with a bruised tricep and stay on there for the rest of the season and us all to forget about him. And so if he pretends to get hurt, then we won't sit there and say, gosh, this guy is a second-round pick, and he can't get on the field, and he can't get active for game day, and he can't. We'll just forget about him, and then he'll come back next year and then maybe have a chance to prove he's an NFL player. But right now, he's not that.
So that was Jared Stillman yesterday on his show. Joe Rexroad basically punting on Dylan Raidens this year for the Titans before the regular season ever even begins. Joe Rexroad, your response to Jared Stillman's take on Dylan Raidens yesterday, the second-round pick for the Tennessee Titans.
Well, I mean, I think we got to bust out Skipman again. I think this is a Skipman right here. I was listening to the monologue, and I agree to some extent with a lot of his points, although essentially Jared was saying he feels less good about the team after everything. I would not agree with that overall. I agreed with some of his points. I mean, to me, you know, Farley and Dupree, we haven't seen Dupree at all, but we know he can play. Farley hasn't played all that well yet, but like, to me, the overall development of pre-camp to now is a positive for both of those guys, in my opinion. It could be way worse right now. We could have gotten to this point and not seen them at all. But we'll see with Dupree on the field. We'll see with Farley if he can actually push in the lineup. I mean, I think right now, clearly, he's not pushing, or he's not about to be with the ones. He's got to earn that. But yeah, that Raidens take is just so panicky and overboard. Dude, and the thing is, I think the worst part about it is it's not understanding, like, the depth chart on this team. I mean, I don't disagree that right now Dylan Raidens isn't very good. I think he's gotten better, but he's not very good. But the idea that in August, you know what a rookie offensive lineman will be in October, one, is silly. Two, who's providing depth, especially in the interior? I mean, that's a lot of why he's been working there, not just because he hasn't been good enough at right tackle, but because, I mean, they've had, you know, Daniel Munyer centering, and now they just got Aaron Brewer back, you know, off his injury, but I mean, I don't think I totally disagree that Raiduns is going to be inactive on game days. I don't think that's the case. I think he's going to have to be active. I don't know that he'll be good, but the idea of just put him on our hide him away or whatever. I mean, look, Nate Davis was a different situation. Nate Davis still was dramatically better mid season, you know, probably more like late season, really, than he was at this point. And he was hurt some, but when he was out there, he did not look good 2 years ago. And, you know, he got dramatically better in that rookie year. That's why you got to work with him week after week. I mean, Dylan Raiduns needs all the reps in practice. He needs to be active. He needs to be out there. And maybe he won't be active every game day, but right now I would guess that he would be. So, yes, very panicky or fanicky Skipman take there by Jared.
I would agree that it's too early for that conversation in terms of just totally punting on Dylan Raiduns for the year. I will say, though, it's disappointing, in my opinion, that your second-round pick is not more ready than he is. I mean, you drafted a guy in the second round to be your right tackle. And, you know, you and I were talking about shortly after the draft pick, is there a scenario where Dylan Raiduns could come in and maybe by the time camp's done, be ready to start at right tackle? And I think it became pretty apparent early on that that was not going to be the case. And you've talked about it. They've moved him around from right tackle. They've played him at guard. And I think a lot of that's due to the lack of depth that they have at the guard position. But I will say, the fact that he's not even really close to being ready to start at this point, I think is highly disappointing for a second-round pick.
I 100% agree with you. But again, it's like two different things, and it's two different things being true. It's been disappointing. This is a huge investment in someone that you hope helps you. Well, everybody knows where the hole is. Everybody knows where the intent was for Dylan Raiduns to matter for this team. And right now, I mean, Vrabel was asked yesterday and basically confirmed, you know, he's not right now in the mix. I mean, it's Quisenberry, it's Sombrilo, it's Lamb. At that spot. And again, Dylan Raiduns is a depth guy on the interior as a second round pick. And that is absolutely disappointing. And overall, I'd say he's been disappointing. I also say that overall, again, there has been progress, but at this point, you have to hope he keeps getting better. If this progress from, you know, the last, I guess, well, let's see. The first preseason game was 2 weeks ago Friday. So, you know, it was kind of like right before that. So it's almost 3 weeks now. If you were able to, you know, keep incrementally going in the right direction, you know, it's possible that he could be an asset for this team at some point. He's still a guy that you don't want on the field right now.
Sure.
You know, you want Nate Davis to be on the field. You want Roger Saffold on the field, and obviously Ben Jones. And then the next guy is I would think would be Brewer, but there's nobody after that. I mean, so, you know, he's got to be a part of this team, and it's very different. The Isaiah Wilson comparisons are obvious because it's a second year in a row with a big investment in a right tackle who, you know, is doing things other than playing right tackle for you. But it's a very different situation in terms of, you know, the work being put in and I think the feeling about him around the building, that only takes you so far. You got to do it on the field. But I'd say he's going to be a part of the team, and let's see how it plays out. To go back to your point, though, there's no question. I mean, you spend a second-round pick to shore up right tackle, which is the one question mark you have after you move on from Dennis Kelly, and he's not doing that.
Why do you think it is, and you brought up the Nate Davis situation, which I think is a really good example of this. He was not very good during the first part of his rookie year, and then as that year moved along, he got better and better. And at the end of the year in 2019, he's a really good player for the Titans, and we know what he did last year. He's becoming, I think, an underrated and really good interior guard in this league. Why do you think on the line there can be so much improvement in year one from where you start to where you finish? It seems like maybe on the line offensively more so than anywhere else. And it's not just the Nate Davis situation. We see this happen all the time throughout the league. Rookies can improve pretty dramatically throughout the year. Why do you think that is with that specific position on the offensive line?
That's a good question. I mean, you know, I think it's different with different people too. I mean, I think for him, you have the long layoff and you have the huge step up. You didn't block Power Five guys week after week after week, like, you know, if you were in the SEC or Big Ten. But I don't know. It's a tough position. I think even receiver in the NFL, sometimes you see, I mean, look, some of these college offenses are simple compared to the NFL offenses. So there's some of that, your head swimming. Does it all come into place? Do you get the full picture of the offense and what you're trying to do? That helps a lot to do your job well. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, I mean, Taylor Lewan was up there yesterday and he again sort of repeated the, you know, I think Dylan had a better camp than me as a rookie. But if I recall correctly, I mean, Taylor Lewan was out there right away and
he was
awfully good. I mean, look, Jack Conklin came in and of course I covered him in college and he was ready to rock, man. He was ready to rock right away and he was very good right away. So, I mean, it's different with different players, but yeah, Nate Davis just happens to be that very recent example here. And like you said, by the end of the year, he and Conklin were a heck of a combination. It is. I just think in general with that position, there is so much timing and chemistry that goes into it. And so it's good to cross train someone like Radunz has been at left guard. He's been at right guard. He's been at right tackle. I think those are the only, I don't think I've seen him at left tackle. I could be wrong, but you know, you're also like at some point you got to settle into one place and work there over and over with the same people to your left and your right over and over, or, you know, preferably with him with one person to your left over and over. It's just not happening for him, but I don't know the answer to that. That would actually be, that'd be a good story.
Can Radunz play center? You think he can snap the ball? Just throw him in there for that too.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, but you know, Cole Banwart is here.
It's true.
So don't sleep on Cole Banwart.
A lot of Cole Banwart jerseys in the crowd the other night. Fan favorite.
Indeed.
That's right. When we come back, Joe Rextro is going to do me a huge favor. He has put together yet another 53-man roster just for me to approach my over-under that I had to begin training camp with Joe Rextro. We'll do that coming up next. How does this 53-man roster stack up to Rexroad's last one at theathletic.com? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on YouTube, on Twitch, and on Periscope as well for your viewing pleasure each and every day here on Robbie and Rexroad and throughout the day here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this rainy Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And Joe Rexroad, you know, before training camp started, I set the over-under for 53-man rosters from you at 3.5. And maybe in retrospect, 3.5 was a little high, but that's okay. I felt like you were going to see a lot of 53-man rosters from Joe Rexroad at theathletic.com. I think we've had two so far, but because you're a nice guy, because you're so swell, you're coming out with another one today just for me. Just for me today here on the show. Joe Rexroad, I appreciate it. It's a good friend right there.
Well, yeah. I mean, it makes sense, right? I mean, today at 3 o'clock, maybe before, but I guess by 3, we will know the 53. Now, again, it's the sort of 53. So it's a little weird because, again, there's going to be, I mean, we know like Racy McMath, Ben Jones and Nate Davis, or I mean, Jeremy McNichols, Jeff Swaim. There are guys on the COVID list who aren't going to be like on the roster. So there's going to be replacements for them on the roster today who aren't really going to be on the 53. They get to be with the team longer than, you know, they would have been. But yeah, I thought it'd be nice. I mean, I know you wanted more 53s.
I did.
So I'm sorry I didn't do as many. You know, it's those pesky Vols and you know, Vanderbilt get in the way sometimes. And yeah. I will say that this latest one, it is not different too much from the one I did last week, 2.0. It's very similar. There are still some key questions, though, obviously, beyond the COVID stuff.
Well, Ron has texted in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, I hope that you have Mekhi Sargent on the roster. So let's start there at the running back position. What does your running back position look like in the latest 53-man roster for Joe Rexroad?
Well, that's one of the changes. And, you know, I'm taking the plunge. Now, again, today, Sargent will be on there. But the question is, when McNichols is off the COVID list, the reserve COVID list, what happens? I'm going to guess Sargent. I think he's had some really good pass protection reps. I understand the preseason camp hero stuff. This happens every year with certain players on teams, and you got to be able to, you know, to distinguish that. But again, I've been watching that guy in practice for a month now and have been pretty consistently impressed with him. So running back, that's one change. I am going to go ahead and possibly against my better judgment. I don't feel really confident with this, but Henry Darrington Evans, who of course, again, with Darrington Evans, again, we don't know what the deal is with him. He's hurt. He's out. I'm assuming he's not going to be on IR. He hasn't been put on IR, so I've got him on the roster, and we'll see when he can come back. But Henry Evans, Sargent, Kari Blasingame, those four.
I'm glad to know you have Derrick Henry making the team.
Thank you. I want to make that clear.
Very well done on that front. What about at wide receiver, which, as we've talked about, the most intriguing position battle on the team? What does your latest 53-man roster look like at the wide receiver position?
Yeah, I'm sticking with what I had last week, 7, which, of course, has to take away from somewhere else. I think maybe you could argue another tight end. You could argue another lineman. You could argue another inside linebacker. I may have this team too light at inside linebacker. But, yeah, I've got AJ and Julio. I've got Josh Reynolds. He's also not out there right now, but he hasn't been put on IR. So I got Reynolds, Marcus Johnson, Charles Rogers, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, and I got the rookie Dez Fitzpatrick making the team.
Chester Rogers?
Yeah, I said Chester Rogers, didn't I?
Said Charles. We'll have Charles Robinson on at 8 o'clock, though.
That's so wild because TD also went Charles Rogers. rest in peace, Charles Rogers, by the way. A real heck of a kid I covered long ago and really sad story. But
yep.
Chester Rogers, thank you, and sorry.
All good on that front. It's going to be interesting. Corey Curtis brought it up yesterday on the show with the idea of maybe Josh Reynolds heading on IR after the 53-man roster comes out. And then you have to adjust from there. But that would leave, you know, Cam Batson off the list at that point. And, look, I agree. You know, I heard Chris Sanders talking about, you know, he would still have Cam Batson on the team. And we talked about it yesterday. He's not really played his way off the team. He certainly has taken advantage of every opportunity that he's given. It's just going to be really interesting to see if he doesn't make the team, is there another team around the league that could use Cam Batson on their active roster right now? I don't know. I think he's an NFL player. I don't know whether or not Cam Batson would make it through to the practice squad if you're the Titans.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he would either. And if they do cut him, which is what I'm projecting, it will be painful for them to lose him in the locker room. And the guy sets an example of professionalism, and he has for a few years now. Don't confuse his stature with, you know, how he's viewed in the building. So that's a tough one. And again, Mason Kinsey,
yeah,
really, he was around a year ago, and the improvement for him has been vast since then too. And he's going to get paid by someone to be a professional football player this year. I just don't know who or where. I think the Titans would love to have him on their practice squad.
Does your backup quarterback look any different? I heard Darren Donovan Chase batting this around yesterday. Chase believes Matt Barkley going to be the backup quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. Who is your backup quarterback for the Titans on your 53-man roster?
Yeah, I will apologize profusely to Woodside if I'm wrong, because I've been picking against him for years, and now I'm like, I'm so bullish that he's on the team, that he's the two. I think he's better than Matt Barkley. So start there. I would agree, like Barkley gets credit for coming in. This is what you have to do when you're Matt Barkley in this league. You have to be ready to go wherever you can get a chance, and then you got to dive into a playbook and get like right up to speed. And he did, and good for him. But I just feel like the other day, I know it was kind of framed like, well, they both made mistakes and they both had the. I think Barkley had a way worse night than Woodside. And I think Woodside, his athleticism is a separator. His length of time here, the trust he has with the coaching staff, the relationships with the teammates, these things aren't as important as just the question of who could give you a chance. And I suppose you could make the case that the guy who's been in the league longer could cobble together a win for you. But again, you're talking about a guy with a 1-2 TD to pick ratio in his career in this league. Yeah. I think it's Woodside clearly.
I think it is too. And look, if you're a Titans fan, you're hoping you never really have to see it, obviously. And that's regardless of whether it's Logan Woodside or Matt Barkley as the backup quarterback. There's a big drop-off between Ryan Tannehill and those two guys. But I'll say, in the three games this year that I've watched in the preseason, and from everything I've heard out of practice and the improvement that he's shown, I've been pretty impressed with Logan Woodside. I really have. Now, what does that mean in an NFL game, an NFL regular season game? Do I have confidence that Logan Woodside is going to come in and throw for three touchdowns and 250 yards? Probably not. But I have been impressed by what I've seen in the role that he plays. And I think what you brought up is the key word. And I think there's a trust there. I do. I think there's a trust there from the coaching staff to Logan Woodside that if something happens to Tannehill and you need him to come in and run the offense, maybe not make big throws and maybe not try to win the game on the back of Logan Woodside, but run the offense, do what he's asked to do. I think there's a big-time trust level there between Mike Vrabel, this coaching staff, and Logan Woodside. And quite frankly, I think maybe more importantly, I do think he's better than Matt Barkley. So to me, I think it's a pretty easy decision at backup quarterback. I know there's been some debate on that, but to me, I'm going Logan Woodside, and I'm really not even thinking twice about it.
Look, I mean, if it goes the other way, I'm going to be really surprised. I've been more surprised than that on cut day, but I think Woodside has locked it up.
We'll continue the conversation and continue to break down the defensive side of Joe Rexroad's 53-man roster when we come back. Welcome your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com to check out Nashville's best deals. You can save cash with the purchase of a $50 gift card for Fat Cat Slims for only $25, a vibrant mid-century American bar and restaurant inspired by custom culture and retro vibes is located at 730 8th Avenue South in the Gulch. It's the spot for live music, diner classics, and the best cocktails you can ask for. Other deals include half off a $25 gift card for Joyland in East Nashville and a $30 gift card to Central Barbecue for only $15. You can get the deals now while they last at thegamenashville.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll be joined to begin the 7 o'clock hour by Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Tennessee taking on Bowling Green coming up on Thursday, and a starting quarterback announced yesterday by Josh Heupel. We'll get more into that coming up with Adam at 7 o'clock, and then a shameless plug by Joe Rexroad at 7:15 as well. Looking forward to that. Right now, going through Rexroad's latest 53-man roster that I feel like he's made just for me here on the show. We've gone through the offensive side of the ball. Now the defensive side of the ball. And Joe, you mentioned that if you're going to keep seven wide receivers, that's going to leave you thin in other spots. And you mentioned inside linebacker is one of those spots that potentially maybe you're a little too thin on if you're the Titans. What does your room look like at the inside linebacker position for the Titans on defense?
Well, first of all, just to quickly finish offense, I didn't change tight end or offensive line. Four tight ends, Firkser, Swaim, Stocker, Hudson, nine offensive linemen. You got your starters plus, you know, Raidens, Questenberry, Sombrilo, and Aaron Brewer. And then, yeah, the inside linebacker room I also did not change. And really, it's kind of been consistent. The question is, am I right that they're only keeping four? Now, another thing to keep in mind on inside linebacker, David Long. Didn't see him last few days. Didn't see him at the game. Wasn't there at practice yesterday. So that's something to watch. That's a guy who I think was really earning, you know, a bigger role with this defense, and kind of feels like a bigger role as the Titans transition out of Rashawn Evans. But certainly they hope Rashawn Evans has a big year. But it, will Jan Johnson make it five guys? I have the four, you know, those three plus Monty Rice. I think he'd be the fifth guy. You might feel better as a coach, probably certainly as Shane Bowen, to have a fifth guy there. But I have it at four. I have the D line at five, and the fifth guy is very difficult. We know the four. Here's another hurt guy, by the way, Larrell Murchison. Not sure on him. And good point by you last break, obviously, or last segment. You know, there may be some guys after the 53 put on. That's the way to do it. Right. So, yeah, maybe Josh Reynolds is one of those guys. Maybe Long, Murchison, Evans, we don't know. Some of those things are going to be cleared up. But right now I've got Murchison on there as the fourth guy. I mean, look, Tier Tart is a starter. If they start with three linemen, he's a starter. And I think Tier Tart is going to be a good player for the Titans this year. That's a heck of a find. Who's the fifth guy? I have flipped around. I talked Trevon Coley before the Atlanta game, but Trevon Coley got hurt in the Atlanta game. Last 53, I had, excuse me, Woodrow Hamilton, the fourth. I'm switching to Anthony Rush. The big question with that is, what do the Titans want in the fifth guy? Because Anthony Rush is 6'4", 361.
Yep.
Do they want that kind of absolute plugger, you know, space eater, or would they rather have, you know, someone like a Hamilton's 315, you know, a Naquan Jones is lighter, I mean, at least 313. You know, a guy who I thought who's on IR right now, or he's, I believe, yeah, he's on IR right now, is Kyle Pako. I thought I might have gone with him, but I'm going to go with Anthony Rush. I'm going to take a guess on Anthony Rush.
You talk about a space eater. That guy's huge. That would be, look, I'm hoping he makes it. Just, I want to see it. I want to see Anthony Rush on like a goal line play and just him bum rush the middle there. It'd be awesome. No pun intended.
Well, that's potentially like, you know, his role if he's on the roster. That's an interesting one. There's a number of ways they could go. Again, I think Coley is more giving you more of that pass rush element before he got hurt. So do they want if they want that more, then I think it will be Hamilton. So that's going to be very interesting.
What about the safety position? We've talked so much about wide receiver on the other side of the ball, but safety beyond Kevin Byard and Imani Hooker is really interesting to me defensively. And we even talked about, and TD's throw the idea out there as well, what about giving Elijah Molden some reps at safety? Now, with the way that Molden's come on at slot corner, I don't see that happening at this point. But what do you think the room is going to look like at safety? And I guess what is kind of your concern level about the safety position beyond Hooker and Byard at this point?
Yeah, well, my guess is it the same as last week? Yes, it is, which is Bradley McDougald. And I'm basing that off where he's been playing, you know, when they've had him out there, who they've had him out there with, and the fact that he hasn't had, you know, clusters of massive mistakes. But I don't feel great about that. You know, the top three, obviously Byard, Imani Hooker, and then I have Matias Farley as the third safety. Do they need to take – see, the thing is, I don't think they need to keep more than four, though, because you mentioned Molden. They haven't put that on his plate. He's a rookie. They need him to be as locked in and as good as possible at the slot corner, because I think that's where he's going to – I think he's going to start there. I think that would just be in case of emergency. Remember, they also have Chris Jackson, a guy who has worked a little bit at safety in the past. So, like, they could move some people around that way. So, I think they would just keep four. I said it yesterday. Dane Cruikshank, is there still a hope that he can come back and be a factor? Is there any hope that sixth-round pick Brady Breeze could come back and be a factor? I mean, at this point, you just haven't seen those guys. So, I'm going with Bradley McDougald with not a ton of confidence.
And then my biggest question, perhaps, on this roster – and I'm half joking, half serious — has Sam Ficken done enough in your mind to establish himself as the kicker for the Titans? Or do you still believe that at some point here in the next couple of weeks, that Steven Guskowski could receive a phone call from John Robinson and that he is ultimately going to be the kicker for the Titans?
I think if that was going to happen, I think it was going to happen yesterday. So I'm in on Ficken. I think it's Ficken. Nashville hot Ficken.
That's right.
And again, we figured this out last week, Robbie. Dennis from the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunting.com, is the first on record making the Nashville hot Ficken pun. So if someone else can beat that, it was like a couple weeks ago.
It's going to be hard to beat that. You know,
it was very early. But, yeah, I think he's a guy. He's been really good. Last week, I wondered because he had a bad practice. I mean, he pushed three kicks, and that's when he has a problem. That's what he's doing. He's slicing. And he missed two, and he almost missed another. And I was like, oh, man, he's going to mess around and squander this after what he did in Tampa Bay was so good. But he has steadied it since then, and I think it's going to be him. And look, I don't know, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's like the confidence level that Sam Ficken is going to be everything the Titans hope and dream. You know, it's not super high. You know, he's maybe a 6, but he's been pretty consistent. And he was 13 for 15 last year. So in his career, he has figured some things out recently to make him more reliable and consistent. And look, all they can do is go on what he's doing every day out there. He's jumped on this opportunity.
I mean, the biggest thing with him is just nail your extra points, dude. I mean, he missed 3 extra points
right.
last year, you know, at 15 opportunities, you only make 12 of them. You know, that doesn't sound like the world's biggest deal, but that's a big deal in today's NFL. You gotta be able to make these extra points. I realize they're no longer a chip shot like they used to be, but you can't go around missing extra points. And to Steven Guskowski's credit, that wasn't really a big problem for him last year. It was basically inside of 50 he had some problems with last year, kicking field goals in the first half of the season. But as long as Ficken can keep that part of his game intact, I think he's going to be fine. Now, is he the long-term answer at kicker? I don't know. I mean, I don't know exactly what that's going to look like for the Titans. Maybe it is Sam Ficken. He's only 28, 29 years old, so it's not like he's old. But if you can keep the extra points and make sure you're knocking those through the uprights, that's the biggest thing with Sam Ficken. Make sure you're hitting your extra points.
That would certainly be big. He's got to do that. Real quick, just to have the whole roster on the record, I'm the same at corner. I think corner is very clear-cut. Jenkins, Fulton, Molden, Farley, Borders, Jackson as your 5 and 6. That's
agreed.
A good corner group. And then at outside linebacker, again, that's where we've had a surprise already. Dupree, Landry, Weaver. And Weaver is going to play and is going to matter for this defense. And maybe Ola Adeniyi also does too. I've got him as a 4th guy now. I had him last week making it over Roberson, but also with John Simon making it. Now, instead, I move it Ola up, and I think Roberson's on this team. Roberson has gotten better and has some pass rushing juice. I think, you know, he's probably not an active guy on game days unless someone else is hurt, but he's built more trust. And if there is an injury, I think they feel like Roberson can go out there, be better at the point of attack, you know, early downs if needed, and, you know, get after the pass a little bit. Maybe we will see him in some situations if he is active on certain Sundays.
That is Rex Rhodes' final edition of the 53-man roster for the Tennessee Titans, unless maybe you can put one together this afternoon before the deadline. Maybe get up to 4. Be good.
I'll DM you 4.0.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And then you will be right.
Yes. I appreciate that. When we come back, we'll switch gears. Look ahead to the Vols taking on Bowling Green on Thursday night. We'll be joined by Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel. That's next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.